Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing? I mean, nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grief process. You know, with roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, that's about a third of the population. That means that everyone probably knows someone caring for a loved one. Join Dave and his guests now and every Wednesday at noon Pacific time as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. So find a comfortable place to relax, kick up your feet, and prepare to feel better and to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to get you through today and every day so you can survive your tomorrows. But not just survive, but to live life fully and abundantly. Yes, you heard me right. That is a possible goal to achieve. And now, here's your host, Dave Nassani. A big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through the world-famous Blog Talk Radio Network, as well as seven other audio and video platforms, including YouTube and iTunes and others. And they're all saved for your later on-demand listening pleasure, including, of course, our website, caregiverscaregiver.com. And if that's too hard to remember, try davethecaregiver.com. That'll work, too. Our goal here is to do everything we can to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. It is a nasty-sounding thing. And we have an exciting show planned for you today with my lovely co-host, Adrienne Gruber, founder of the Caregiver Space. Say hello, Adrienne.
Hello.
See, she's there. Today, we will be interviewing Malcolm Boehm. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Boehm. Founder of Liquid Grids and the Caregiver Connection Facebook page with almost 100,000 followers in just a very short amount of time. He will be discussing what he does, and that will be greatly benefiting the caregiver community by partnering with government, healthcare industry, and caregiver lobbies to get them the things that caregivers so often need, including funding and among other things. So stay tuned. You will not want to miss this show. I'm your host, Dave Nassani. The show is to caregivers of every single kind. And as I always say, and I'm getting tired of saying it, but the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring and selfless and sacrificial, but they have this tiny little problem and are prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. And if we listen to United Airlines, we can learn something from them. Because they tell us in the event of emergency, put your own oxygen mask on first before you attempt to help your loved one with their mask. And why do they tell us that? Because even though it's a selfish thing a parent can do to their kid, you know, put their needs first. Can you imagine a plane going down, everyone screaming, your bundle of joy, gasping for breath? Whose mask are you going to put on first, right? Well, the airlines know so well that if you don't put your needs above the needs of your loved one, you will most likely black out. And then you won't be of any good to anybody with anything. Now, we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects it can have on us. Anytime we suffer a loss, we go through the grief process. It could take days, weeks, or months, or years to get over it. Because everyone's different. Unfortunately, folks, there's only one way out of the grief process. You got to go through it. No shortcuts. Just got to go through it. And hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if, you know, you happen to feel like you're stuck. And I do want to take this time to thank my last week's guest, New York Times bestselling author and caregiver, Carmen Berry, writer of 30 books, oh my gosh, speaking on how that there are great books inside of caregivers that need to come out. And she will help you like a midwife birth that book. You can listen to that interview and all of our interviews right here on our website, caregiverscaregiver.com, because they're recorded. And speaking of caregivers and books, I want to just say again, I'm so excited that our long-awaited third book is getting closer and closer to becoming a reality. And we'll let you all know when you can begin the pre-purchase process. It's called It's My Life Too, When to Say Yes and When to Say No to Avoid Burnout in Caregiving. And we're believing to pre-sell 10,000 books to our caregiver Facebook fan base to possibly make the New York Times best-selling list, something we can only do with your help. All right, enough of that. A very big welcome to Adrienne, my lovely co-host.
Thank you.
Malcolm, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for agreeing to this interview. I'm so excited to have you on.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I can hear you now. Well, Malcolm, why don't you take a couple of minutes, and without answering all the questions we talked about in advance, Just tell us, who is Malcolm Boehm and why was he put on this earth in about 1 or 2 minutes?
Well, thanks for inviting me today. It's a pleasure to be here. In short, for the audience, I'm a physiologist by training. I've been in the healthcare industry for all of my career. Went to medical school in the United Kingdom and decided physiology was my calling. I eventually moved into the pharmaceutical industry, where I worked for about 20 years. And for the last 15 years, I've been running companies of my own. And Liquid Grids is my latest incarnation. And the Caregiver Connection Facebook page is part of what we do at Liquid Grids.
I told you he was smart. And you lost your British accent. How did that happen? I didn't think that ever
Oh, I
happened.
can turn it on whenever you like, mate.
Oh, you're just like Dr. House. I never knew he was British until I saw him interviewed one time. I just thought he was a bloke. Well, let's get going here. Were you ever a caregiver yourself, Malcolm? How did you get this passion to help caregivers?
Yeah, like most of us, I was a caregiver. My father passed away due to Parkinson's, respiratory distress. It was a journey. We didn't realize for many, many years that there was something happening. He would go into terrible depressions and fixated mute. And eventually we found out something was definitely wrong when he was feeding the dogs whiskey and drinking their water.
Oh my, I bet the dogs like that. Then you can sing that song, Who Let the Dogs Out? Wow. Yeah, my mother recently passed away a couple of years ago. She had dementia for about 5 years or so, and it wasn't that bad for most of those years because she was a sweet person. Sometimes dementia can make you just nasty, and just arguable and just a difficult patient. Those kind of patients that independent living and assisted living, I should say, interviews because they don't want just anybody. They want to make sure that the patient is going to be, one of those nice patients. And my mother was a very nice patient, but toward the very end, she just wanted to go. She says, "I'm tired of not remembering." And so fortunately, she went to the hospital because I forget what it was, but it was just some minor thing. And her doctor says, "Well, we're gonna have to stick a feeding tube down her throat because she's dehydrated." And I says, "Well, she has an advance directive that says no, so let's just use this as the excuses to send her home where she wants to go." And 2 days later, on hospice, she went. So was your father's death a quick one or not?
Unfortunately, not. He went through several periods of severe respiratory distress, which is pretty common with Parkinson's. But it actually lasted for about, I want to say, about 5 years. It was unfortunate. I remember going to visit him at the home close to the end, and it was a very hollow look in his eyes. He did not recognize me. And when I went the next day, I could tell that there was some recollection. There was something there. He was also not a friendly patient like your dear mother. He was actually quite an angry patient, and that caused quite a lot of distress, not necessarily for me, but for my mother and my sister. So I've been touched by a number of those aspects of caregiver. That's a rough time.
Yeah. Adrian, what causes that? Some people are just nice and some people are not when they get Alzheimer's or dementia. Is there
It's
any
random.
correlation? Does anybody know?
No, it's random, really.
Oh,
I
roll the
mean, some
dice.
people become, they may not know who you are, but they become really loving. And there are a lot of people that will settle for that because they've had a confrontational relationship all along. Loving all of a sudden is wonderful.
Yeah, stroke does that too. Sometimes your personality can change. Fortunately, my wife is the same sweet person she was
That's
before her
good.
stroke. If you didn't know Malcolm, my wife had a stroke 20 years ago. She lost her speech and paralyzed on the right side, and she's amazing. She makes us normal people look like whiners and complainers. That's the importance of having an advance directive also, because I don't want to be a burden on my kids, and so I spelled out when to pull the plug, with me, and everybody should do that. I assume your father did not have one, huh, Malcolm?
No, he did not.
Well,
Did you know his wishes?
You know what? We really didn't. But one of the things that we had to do, which is something that I come across quite often in our community, is fight for power of attorney so that we could actually make those decisions on his behalf.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice Malcolm and I have the same haircut, Adrian?
Yes, I noticed.
I liked him the second I saw him. Now, you say you're a physiologist, right?
That's right.
Is your background? You know, I'm a dummy. Would you explain to me what a physiologist is and does? And
sure. So we study how the body systems actually work and also how they fall apart. So how does the heart actually function? How does the brain function? How does it all come together so that a human being actually lives, breathes, and survives? But then also, you know, a big part of the science is to understand what goes wrong, when it starts to go wrong, what are the signs, and what are the reasons for it? And it's a basic science in medicine that helps really understand how can we intervene? What are the kinds of procedures, treatments, pills, prescriptions, whatever, that you need to intervene? So that's the science that I'm educated in.
So when does the body actually start to die? Somebody told me at 18 is when it actually starts to deteriorate and any road. Is that true?
Yeah, it varies between males and females, actually. Males start to actually ebb away a little bit in certain aspects of their physiology around about 18. Women are actually peaking a little bit later than us. But yeah, for example, your new brain tissue no longer continues to be developed after the age of 18 as a male. And people like you and me, we lose our hair around about that time.
You mean we start losing it at 18?
We start.
Wow, amazing. On the news today, they said millennials are very concerned because many of them are starting to go bald at 18. And, of course, the government the Democrats are saying that it's stress-related. I don't know what the Republicans are saying. But is that true? Can stress accentuate the aging process?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Stress is a major problem. It's a major problem, as the three of us know, with caregivers. But what you get in stress are three very, very important reactions called fight or flight, right? So the body shuts down certain organ systems in favor of others so that there's a survival. And it releases some very, very powerful hormones, one of which is called cortisol, which is the stress hormone. And that has impacts on all kinds of body systems. Your brain, your hair, your heart, everything. It's a very, very detrimental state to be in, particularly in prolonged periods of time.
Wow. So the biggest fad right now is anti-aging stuff. Everyone is selling something that claims anti. Is any of that true? Is there any way to slow down the aging process?
Well, you know, from a supplement pharmaceutical perspective, I'm not sure that I believe it. But what I do think we have seen over the last 20 years, at least in my lifetime, is that diets have generally improved. People have started to be able to live longer by better controlling some of the aspects of their lives. And diet is a huge one. So I think, you know, certainly there are ways in which you can prolong life. And we're seeing a much, much older generation living a lot longer, and hopefully we three are part of it as well.
Yeah, and also how we look. I mean, I'm 63. People say I look younger than that, but I've seen other 63-year-olds who look like they're 85. So, you know, it's very random. Maybe it's not random. What do you think?
Depends on where you are also.
I mean, there are exposure to the sun,
different lifestyles in different parts of the country, your occupation. I mean, people who work in the fields and toil all the time.
I mean,
a silver life.
Spoon in your mouth, yeah.
I haven't been born with a silver spoon in my mouth.
Well, I think we all look good. How did you start, or why did you start the Caregiver Connection Facebook page? And I'll ask you about how fast it's growing later. Just let's talk about what's the goal and the purpose of that Caregiver Connection page, and is it achieving its goal?
It is achieving its goal, but let me just step back. I mean, we recognize, just like many, many groups in the industry, caregivers are a very, very underserved group of people in this country. There's 43 million of them. What we recognize is they represent an extremely impactful point of care decision making. They're there, they're taking care of those people, and you know, the industry has to control costs somehow, improve the efficiency of care. And so we, with partners of ours at Liquid Grids, decided that this was a group we should try and engage and understand, frankly. So our initial objectives were, could we engage caregivers? Could we provide information and education to them that would be useful? And could we also listen to them to understand what are the big issues that they face and how can we support them? So that's the short and curly version.
Yeah, so, and you certainly have a lot of people who have joined it. I've looked on there and there's lots of different subjects going on. Do you have a strategy as to what you talk about today and what you're going to talk about tomorrow, or it just comes up naturally or spontaneously?
There is a little bit of natural spontaneous stuff that comes up. You know, we do have caregivers that are sharing some really intimate details of their situations. And so we ask their permission to repost that. And when they say yes, we repost it and generally gets a fantastic reaction. But to be frank, we do actually have a technology behind the caregiver connection that is looking to understand across the World Wide Web, where are people going and what are they saying? Our strategy here was to skew older. A lot of people think about Facebook as sort of the youngster's place, and we've actually skewed this to be serving 45 years and older. 70% or greater of our audience are 45 years or older, and in fact, 60% are over the age of 55. So we wanted to go after that particular group, and how we choose the themes day by day is driven by, of course, the reactions that we get from certain pieces of content. And we try now to go down themes. So if there's a particular theme that's working, we'll try and support that theme for a few days rather than chop and change all the time.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask where you get your content?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't want to overcomplicate our conversation, but thank you for asking. We have a technology that actually goes out and looks for a library of disease terms like Alzheimer's or dementia or senile or what have you. And we're looking for places across the World Wide Web that are publicly available. So it could be websites, it could be the caregiver space, it could be anywhere where people are aggregating. And then we actually have an analysis tool that reads that text and can comprehend it. So we use artificial intelligence techniques to really understand, okay, what are these people talking about? And not just individual conversations. We really want to try and see, okay, what themes are relevant across large groups of people. It doesn't matter how many different places we're grabbing the information. Mm-hmm. And so that really gives us the direction of how to use the information and where to go with it.
Well, that's really high tech.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Did you come up with that yourself or you had help?
It was my idea for sure. I have a very gifted group of developers that make my ideas come true. So there's a team of us.
And obviously there's a team doing the posts on Facebook, answering them. It's a lot of work. I know I've got to help, and I know Adrian has help.
Yeah, actually, I will tell you that the team that works on this caregiver connection is just two people. We do have a lot of automation into our operations, so I'm very proud of that. But we're generally very proud of what we do with the caregiver connection. It's been a fantastic success.
And was it launched about a year ago or longer than that?
Nope, we launched it on July the 6th, 2016. So it's been going
on. Wow.
July 2016, so that's 6 months, 7 months? Wow.
Yeah, about 8 months, 8 months.
Amazing.
And I think today we're at about 96,000 people.
Yep.
Amazing. Well, listen, we're going to take a break on that note, so don't go away. We will be right back.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resemble that of both a Martha Stewart and a Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech-impaired and paralyzed on the right side. Who am I? My name is David. I've had the privilege of being Charlene's husband since 1975. We had a wonderful, fairy tale, storybook-like courtship that culminated in our marriage a year later. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left. Finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn, she started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought us all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, our love then produced Rebecca Elizabeth. We had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships, is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope, that everything happens for a reason, and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone who meets her. Her accomplishments since her stroke are very impressive, often making us normal people look like whiners and complainers. So pick up your copy of One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships today. You won't be disappointed. Just hear what best-selling author Lynn Barrington has to say about it. If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel Christian music, Andre Crouch? Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. You'll be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through. Available everywhere, but if you purchase your copy directly from the author's website, onearmoneleg100words.com, Charlene and David will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy!
And we're back with Adrian Kuberg and Malcolm Bohim. Am I pronouncing your last name right, Malcolm?
It's Bohm. B-O-H-M.
Bohm. One syllable. Bohm. That's a good English name, huh?
German, actually.
German. Well, Malcolm, please explain how you are planning to partner with, as I mentioned before in my intro, with the government, the healthcare industry, and caregivers to possibly lobby for funding and other exciting help for the caregiver. Just kind of expand on that for about 5 or 6 minutes.
Sure. Well, I'd like to step back and just acknowledge one of our partners that actually helped us build the Caregiver Connection.
Sure.
It's a company called Higi, H-I-G-I. We did this together because Higi actually has a unique proposition for people to take care of themselves. They have these self-screening stations that are found in retailers all over the country, pharmacy retail units. There's a Higi station about 5 miles from about 80% of zip codes across the country. They're fun. They're free to use. You sit in the pharmacy and you can take your blood pressure, your heart rate. It weighs you. It'll give you your body mass index. Some of the machines will give you your body fat, and you can talk to the pharmacist about your results, etc. It's a great way, we thought, for caregivers to actually be able to take care of themselves without all of the problems of getting out of the house, getting a time with a doctor, etc.
And their loved ones too.
Absolutely, of course. Getting to understand your own numbers as a caregiver is critical, because we know that so many actually fall into ill health themselves because of the demands of caregiving. Now, with Liquid Grids and Higi, we thought, wow, if we can create a movement of caregivers across the country that in one part are using these stations to take care of themselves, but create a movement, we may have the ability to have sufficient clout, sufficient numbers to be able to go to health systems, to go to the government, and start to hammer on the door and say, we need help and we need to be recognized. So I think there's a lot of ways in which we could do that, and we're starting to explore those opportunities now that we have a critical mass. And frankly, along with the caregiver space and other great properties out there, I think there is a movement. There's too many people that are in very difficult circumstances that are getting no help, and I think it's time to try and help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That amazing, Adrian?
Yes, that's what I've been trying to do. I don't know what you consider critical mass as far as the number of caregivers that you're going to need to have any effect.
Probably there has something to do with money, right? Because the medical industry is motivated by money, and the government industry is motivated by getting reelected.
Yeah, well, we save them $450 billion a year, so why do they want to help us?
Right.
We're already, you know, contributing all of this service.
Malcolm? I think that's a really good point. However, I think there is also an offset, because if you were to look at the healthcare burden of sick caregivers as they go through the process, the loss of productivity from employers, the unemployment benefits that need to be drawn down, I mean, I think there is a counterbalance to what you have to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think there's definitely, I think there's definitely an opportunity here. But I think just to answer your question about scale, one of the reasons why we decided to go after Facebook, just like you guys at Caregiver Spaces, it gives you a great scalability to a very, very big audience. And there are lots of digital tricks that we can use to scale audiences that look just like the caregivers that we have in our various communities. And so you can take our 100,000 and you can multiply that by 150, and you've got some big numbers. So I think actually the critical mass right now, we believe we have in the ability to scale audiences and scale messages. And that's part of what we'll be doing going forward. We can talk about that in a moment.
Yeah, we look forward to that. That's what everyone's been wishing for. You read my posts, almost all of them, 80%, are something about, you know, I wish I could get some help. You know, I lost my job because I couldn't show up on time, and you know, just one thing after the other. And I know Adrian has the same problems with their posts. So this is a godsend. It really is. Now you have some ideas of dealing with the special problems of long distance caregiving, don't you?
Yeah, it's been a revelation to me recently through the Caregiver Connection and other activities that I'm involved in, that 60% of people who are over the age of 40 live more than 40 miles away from somebody that they need to take care of. And I'll give you the example. My mother lives in Ireland. I have no way that I can impact her day-to-day care, and she is an elderly lady who uses a cane. So how do I provide health in help and support in those circumstances where my loved ones are too far away? Now, in that same statistic, the other siblings that might be involved are also over 40 miles away. So you're left in a situation where a lot of elderly people are by themselves and don't have any kind of support structure. And so I'm very interested in looking at remote care models and trying to leverage community in general. And I mean, down at the street level, how can we help people? There was a very, very touching post that was put out in the early days of our community. And the lady said, you know, of all things, yes, I do have a light bulb that could be changed, but what I'd love to happen more with somebody would just come and visit me, because I'm lonely. And I'm like, wow, that just gets me right in the heart. And that's a really, really tough place. And if I thought about my own mother, if she was to say that, I would be crucified, you know. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for us to help. There's no way that you can just do it through a Facebook page, but it certainly is a portal to providing some expression and a place where people can connect. And what we've seen on the Caregiver Connection in the last 8 months is that people do connect. They talk to each other, and in many cases, they find out where each other are, and they connect offline, and we're really excited about that.
Wow. That would solve a lot of problems. How far away do you see any of this really having an impact? You know, months, years, decades?
Well, I would tell you that, you know, the Caregiver Connection and Liquor Grids and Higgy, our partners, we are now at the point where we're going to force the situation by bringing sponsors to this community, and we mean relevant sponsors. Uh-huh. So, you know, for example, there's retail pharmacy where we all go and we have to fill prescriptions and get supplies and what have you. Is there a way in which we can incentivize the retailers to provide additional services and relief to the caregivers? I can't name them today, but I was speaking to one of the very large chains last week in Phoenix, and they're about to promote a service to caregivers where they will provide the supplies, custom supplies to that caregiver, to their door, knowing that it's very difficult to get out. How can you get discounts to your trolley, be it just basic groceries? Are there different software tools that people can interact with? So we're looking to identify sponsors, and we're in discussions with sponsors today. So we hope to bring those to the caregiver community very soon and through our caregiver connection.
Well, yeah, I know caregivers would definitely support with their dollars, you know, companies that are trying to make a difference and have a heart toward caregiving and are doing that. So I think it's a win-win for everybody, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that we're working on right now is a clinical trial that's being done by a pharmaceutical company where they need early onset Alzheimer's patients. Mm. We've got a bucket load of those people in our community, right? And a clinical trial, it sounds scary, but you know what? It's access to standard of care, medicines, support that these people otherwise may not have been accessing. So I think it's a great opportunity. So we're going to try and pursue that.
Yeah, I don't think it's scary. Most people in that position have nothing to lose, and they're willing to try anything. And they have tried things. In fact, they've spent thousands and tens of thousands of dollars trying things because there's a lot of scam artists out there. I know when Charlene had her stroke, we were approached by so many people. You know, this guy had hyperbaric oxygen. He says this heals strokes. Another one had biofeedback. Another one had, you know, just herbs and spices and this and that. And you know, after you spend about $30,000 and there's no change that insurance doesn't cover, you start to put up the walls and say, no thanks. And I know cancer is the same way. There's so many people who, oh, I know a friend who you know, was healed of their cancer. All they did was drink this thing, you know. So it's refreshing to hear some good stuff.
Yep, I agree. You know, I'll just mention we do also have a cancer community that we're growing quite quickly. It's about 30,000 people in 2 months right now. But across both communities, we see the same thing, Dave. There are scam artists. And, you know, as owners of the page, we're actually really, really careful to provide a firewall. If we see that kind of thing creeping in, we ban them very, very quickly. We do not want that kind of thing creeping in. You know, all kinds of hocus pocus potions and lotions and supplements that are basically just draining people's pockets.
Yes, potions, lotions, and pills.
And placebos.
Yeah, probably.
Yes, sugar pills. Interesting. Well, let's take another break and we'll be right back. So don't go away.
Anytime we suffer loss, we grieve, and a lot of people don't realize what even the grief process is. But it could be 5 to 7 steps ranging from denial, I don't believe this is happening, anger, oh my gosh, I'm so upset this is happening, to a form of bargaining, how can I get out of this, to depression, which is a very serious thing because that often leads to suicide. And then finally, after you realize you have no more control over your situation and you're totally okay with the new normal that it brings, that wonderful, wonderful place called acceptance.
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout, as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take the Caregiver's Caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you, and ultimately, an investment in them.
And we're back with Adrian Gruberg and Malcolm Bohm. Adrian, you have anything you want to ask Malcolm?
I wanted to know a little bit about what the liquid gels?
Liquid grids.
Liquid grids.
Yes, it's a strange name. Explain it. Thanks for asking that. I was going to ask that.
Yep. So I mentioned earlier that we have a technology that goes out and sort of harvests from the World Wide Web textual data about people's discussions relative to healthcare, right? We call that in our world unstructured data, okay? Mm-hmm. It could be a blog post, it could be a forum entry, it could be comment on a website page, Facebook post or whatever. That's unstructured data. So we have a technology that basically takes all of that information and gives it structure. And so we take liquid information, unstructured, and give it structure in the form of a grid.
So okay.
Liquid grids is what we came up with.
Okay, thank you.
You're so technical, Malcolm. Are you married?
I am, 29 years.
Wow, and kids?
I have a 15-year-old son who will be 16 on June the 6th.
And you live in San Diego or the LA area?
No, I'm in San Diego.
San Diego. I have a cousin down there in Dana Point.
Nice.
So what was I going to ask you? The future. Take about 5 or 10 minutes because the future is so big. I know you've got a lot to say about it. Will there ever be a point where robots will help out caregivers? science fiction. I mean, how crazy is that?
Wow. I got to tell you, I've been watching this. We've posted about this several times on the Caregiver Connection. There are companies in Silicon Valley and actually overseas, one of which I know is Israeli-based, that are producing an artificial intelligence robot that basically replaces a human, or that is the idea. Think about it as in the Amazon Echo, that thing that you put in your house and it kind of controls your lights. And
Alexa.
Alexa, there you go. their idea is that this is the solution to loneliness and interaction, et cetera, that caregivers don't have. And in some respects, I can understand what they're trying to do. I'm just not sure that I buy it in terms of a real solution for caregivers. We're talking, I'm watching your faces on the screen and it's fun and it's engaging because you're humans. And when we asked this question of the caregiver community just recently, would you be interested in interacting with an artificial intelligence robot? 99% of them said, no, hell no. It's an interesting thing to consider, right? First off, there's a cost involved. And these caregivers actually have to have Wi-Fi and they have to, I'm just not sure I see it. There are certainly parts of these sort of future bots, if you will, these interfaces that could be useful, right? Mm-hmm. It could be that they help remind you that it's time for medications. They help remind you that it's time to change a diaper or whatever it may be. And I think mm-hmm. there's certain utility there. I'm sure at some point there's going to be some kind of technology that gets introduced that truly does disrupt the way caregivers can go about their day. But just having some thing in the corner that you can speak to that tells you the weather, I just don't buy it at this point. And I'm not sure caregivers really care that much. I think the technology solutions that would make a difference would be those that align to actually causing caregivers to get reimbursement for the kind of work that they do, right? Big issue. Yeah. Adrian mentioned it earlier. There's a lot of work that these people do, but they're not certified, they're not qualified. I think the future might be there are programs that enable that certification very quickly and very easily. That's the kind of future that I'd like to see, rather than artificial intelligence robots that, you know, hoover the floor whilst you're doing other jobs and telling you the weather. So that's my rant.
Well, you're talking about caregivers interacting with artificial intelligence. But what about the patient? Because I don't think the patient usually would be the one that stands for it. They really need a presence and a warmth. They're not going to be able to feel nice and warm and cuddly with a robot.
Now, wait a minute. I saw a Facebook post about a robotic dog. And it looks
dogs
like a
are,
real
no, no,
dog.
Pets are a different story.
And Alzheimer's patients really thought that was a real dog.
Pets are a different story.
I think I agree with Adrian. It's a different issue. And the part that is played by music and pets for caregivers is a very, very important area, right?
Yes.
And I think we can all agree there. But in terms of the robot that might be interacting with the patient, I mean, certainly with the caregiver connection today, I would say greater than 70% of the people that are being cared for are Alzheimer's, dementia, senile dementia, Parkinson's, and advanced disease. They're confused enough as it is. It's hard enough to understand as the caregiver, are they in a lucid moment? Do they remember me or not? And one of the questions that got an awful lot of activity recently for us on the caregiver connection was, my mom just doesn't remember me when I visit her at the nursing home anymore. Should I continue to visit? And I will tell you, without any budget or promotion, we had 1,000 reactions overnight. 40,000 people, 40,000 people overnight reacted to that. So the concept that you would take out the human element of taking care of the people that brought us onto this earth, which is a very, very common trait that we see amongst these caregivers, I think is abhorrent, and I don't think it's going to happen.
You know, while you were talking, I was imagining in my mind some entrepreneur out there who has this idea of creating a human-looking robot that looks exactly like, you know, the child. And that way the demented parent would think that the child was there. I could just see them selling this.
Scary.
Yeah. But how many millenniums would jump at that opportunity? Oh, wow.
Well, yeah,
it would also work as an escape hatch for the children. You know, let's just get mom a robot. She'll think it's me, you know.
Well, they're already willing to dump her in a nursing home and never see her. So,
you know,
it's like
dumping her in a nursing home. That's a strange thing. I think when you're talking about she really needs to be watched and have round the clock care.
Yeah.
That doesn't always mean that she can be at home. So that there is a difference.
I'm talking about the patient who can be at home. She's not bad enough for a nursing home, but a decision is made just out of convenience or selfishness or whatever. And that happens a lot.
Well, yes, of course. Yes.
It does happen a lot, guys. I agree with you. I will say, you know, just reflecting on the caregiver connection and the people they're in, very few of them are in that particular situation. More of them are actually anti these establishments and actually very scared of them by virtue of reputation. I'm sure there are some very reputable and fantastic facilities, but you know, cost is a big problem. These people just don't have the money anymore.
Correct.
And they don't want to lose that time. I mean, so many people have gone through the grief process. We heard this in the introduction from Dave. So many people have gone through this process and lost those loved ones. And we hear it every day. I would never not do it again. I would never have not done it. They also recognize that once it comes through the other side and the grief is over, that they have a new lease of life and it's time to concentrate on them. But the concept that you throw them into the nursing home, I can say confidently there's very few people like that in the caregiver connection today.
You know, I've been in a lot of nursing homes because, you know, my wife broke her ankle a couple of times. And, you know, maybe one out of 10 nursing homes are good, and the other nine I wouldn't put my cat in. So, you know, there are ways, whenever you're looking for a nursing home, you don't want to just go through Yellow Pages and call and take it that way. You've got to go visit it, and you have to visit it when they're not expecting you. You know, and first thing I like to call is the smell test. You know, do you smell anything that is offensive, you know? Mm-hmm. And are there an unusually large amount of patients in wheelchairs sitting in the hallways just staring at the wall with no human interaction? You know, those are two red flags. And so, you know, it's we've seen patients, even roommates next to my mother or my wife when she was there, that day after day after day, they don't get any visitors from any family. A month mm-hmm. went by, this person did not get any visitors. And it's like they are treated differently by staff than the ones who get visitors every single day. Yes. Right? Unfortunate, but true. Maybe it's human nature. I don't know.
Human nature on the part of the
bad person.
No, I mean, because nobody is...
There's no accountability. There's no
accountability. There's right. no one looking to see what the results of the care yeah. have been.
So even good people, good staff, you know, who are not, you know, the kind of people that we're talking about, even they are tempted to just say, oh, you know, they don't need anything yes. today. But the one who comes in every day, they know they're going to be asked, well, was my mother turned today? You know, did she have her eggs that she likes? You know, you have to engage these people. And so mm-hmm. they know they're going to be grilled. And so they are a little more, and perhaps to the detriment of the other one, because they're spending so much time on that one. It's sad. I don't know what the answer
sometimes,
is.
Sometimes. Yeah. Mm. Not an easy problem.
It's not an easy problem, but you know, let's get back to the positive stuff. There are things that we can do. And you know, one of the other, I don't know how much time we have left, but you know, a couple of things. Another piece of content that we see coming up a lot is looking for local resources at the town and local state level. And you know what's surprising is that there are resources available, but so few people know that they're there. Now, they may not actually be available or accessible to everybody, but they are there. And I think one of the things that you know, we try and do with the Caregiver Connection is communicate how to try and find out if those resources are available.
Like what kind of resource? Please.
Well, you can start with just the simple stuff like the church, Adrian, but also then there are local support groups. And there are local
senior centers
and community resources. And there are state budgets that are available for certain initiatives in certain states. Off the top of my head today, I can't give you those. But, you know, where we can provide that value, I think, is really important. Mm-hmm. And coming back to, you know, simple things. You asked me about the future. I actually think that the concept of creating chapters around the country that are led by certain caregivers that have been through the experience and bring together support groups at a very, very local level is something that we might want to explore. We believe with our model, with our partners with Higi, where we have these self-screening stations all over the country, that we could actually create Higi huddles where we're bringing the caregivers together and they have the opportunity to do the screening, but also talk to the pharmacist, talk to each other, have a human interaction. So I think there are lots of different things that we can try and explore.
Malcolm, are you taking into consideration the fact that caregivers really do have a very hard time leaving their loved one? They're sort of prisoners in that way. They can't get out that easily. They're sometimes on call 24/7.
Yes.
So are you talking about face-to-face support groups? Are you talking about phone support groups? Online support groups?
It could be any of the above. Yeah, I agree with you. There are a lot of people in our community that are in that very dire situation where they just can't get out the door. They're scared to get out of the door because of what may happen. And the patients are in such a condition that they just need constant oversight. I get it. I mean, it's not a solution for all. There's no question. But as a 49-year-old, my mom is now 75 and she still can move around. She requires care, for sure, but it's not so infirm. So, I mean, I think there are certain caregiver groups that it makes sense for.
We have about 4 more minutes, Malcolm. Is there anything else? I'm done with my questions. What can you talk about that we haven't already discussed that would be of interest to my burned out caregivers who are listening?
Well, I mean, I'd love, you know, if they haven't heard about the Caregiver Connection or indeed the caregiver space, you know, come and join us on Facebook, because there is an amazing amount of people that are just like you. And a lot of people have got a lot of value out of this. To be able to talk and express. Expression is really important. You know, we get a lot of people come to the pages and they say, I'm so glad I found this. I'm just so glad you're here. And they ask a lot of questions. They ask for help. And it's a tremendously liberating experience to be able to publish content that so many people are getting value out of. I think it's tremendous. And I really appreciate your reaching out, Dave, through one of those pages to me. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you guys today, and it's great to meet Adrian. We've been benchmarking ourselves against the cancer space for quite some time, so it's kind of fun to meet our nemesis, if you will.
Hardly a nemesis. We're working for the same thing.
We are. I agree. And actually, we should probably take this as our cue to do something together.
Yes. I agree.
We should all keep in touch. Malcolm, something that's always concerned me, you know, I do Facebook ads too, and there have been varying estimates as to how many caregivers are men versus women. First, I thought there was only 10%, then I thought there was 20%, then I thought there was 30%. But whenever I send out Facebook ads, very few of them are answered by men. So I naturally just concentrate on women. And what's been your experience?
Yeah, 98% of the caregiver connection are women, age 60 and older. Most of them consume through a mobile device. I think most people have smartphones today. But yeah, it's pretty stunning how few men are involved. But I think this is also reflective of Facebook statistics anyway. Facebook is a very female-dominated space. Once you get over the age of 49, yeah, it's very dominated. In fact, there were some statistics several years ago that women would spend 3 to 5 hours per day on Facebook.
Whoa, and true. I know a lot of women who do
Whoa.
That.
That's a lot.
They are really addicted to it. Well, my partner is one of them. Her husband says, she's on Facebook 5 hours a day. I says, really?
Oh, and then there are those people who tweet.
Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't men who are addicted to the computer or even Facebook. And that doesn't mean that only 2% of caregivers are men. So why do you think men don't try to connect online caregivers the way women do?
You know what? I actually don't think this is limited to the caregiver community. We see this quite a lot. I mentioned we have a cancer community. We actually have about 13 different communities that we run. Yeah, the statistics are kind of similar. It's heavily dominated by women, maybe not as high as 98%, but certainly over 60% in most cases are women. You know, we have GI as a connection. We have cancer as a connection. We have wound care. Heart health, these are all dominated by women. I think it's more of a Facebook phenomenon than it is general, you know, demographics of these particular issues.
I was going to say great minds think alike, because Adrian did the same thing. She started little tiny groups.
The communities.
Community groups.
Well, it's for the privacy aspect of it too. But it's notorious. Men won't ask for help. Or instructions or directions.
Or directions.
with directions. And it's known that men will leave marriages more than not if they are faced with something they cannot fix. It's men like to be able to fix things. And when they can't fix it, they just sort of throw their hands up in the air. And it's unfortunate. But not everybody's a husband like you are, Dave.
I must be really in touch with my feminine side, because I was really on Facebook before. My daughter got me addicted to it. I can't believe how fast this hour has gone.
It has.
Thank you so much, Malcolm, for coming on the show. Adrian as well. Malcolm, how can you be reached if someone wants to speak with you, or you know, join the Caregiver Connection, or even get that that app that's called Higi, H-I-G-I?
That's right.
I just downloaded mine. It looks amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, and there's a caregiver community on there as well. You can contact me, Malcolm, M-A-L-C-O-L-M, at liquidgrids.com. And you can text me, email me, or phone me at 973-975-3784. I'd love to hear from anybody.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know how to spell liquid, it's L-I-Q-U-I-D, G-R-I-D-S.com. And Malcolm has two L's in it. I thought it only had one. M-A-L-C-O-L-M. I know I'm a terrible speller.
Well, listen, guys, I really appreciate the opportunity. It's been a real pleasure.
We appreciate it to you. And again, a reminder that all our live shows, including this one, become recorded pod and videocast on our website, caregiverscaregiver.com, or if it's easier, davethecaregiverscott.com. And also, while you're there, take our short quiz to see if you're a candidate for burnout. And just for doing that, I'm going to send you my first book that you heard advertised absolutely free, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships, my wife's amazing story. So, Adrian, and
come visit us on the Caregiver Space too.
I'm sorry, Adrian.
That's
Adrian,
right.
How can people get a hold of you?
It's Adrian, A-D-R-I-E-N-N-E, at thecaregiverspace.org. And the Caregiver Space is the Facebook page, and thecaregiverspace.org is the website.
I tell you, I don't know what I would do without Adrian. She completes me. I'm spit and she's polished. Okay, I said that last week.
Did you?
Well, about Carmen.
Oh.
Remember. Okay,
yeah.
So have a nice week. We will be back again next week. And thank you so much for coming on. And goodbye.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time and anytime afterwards on podcast to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process right here on the Worldwide Block Talk Radio Network. Goodbye.